Good. All right. Welcome back tonight and a chance to be able to gather together as the body of Christ, our family time, our time of looking out and seeing what's happening in the life of the church, sharing what's happening in our lives, and also be able to hear from God's word as well. So we're looking forward to that. I got a few announcements I want to make sure that we are aware of and give opportunity for any other ministry updates. And then Dave's going to come up, lead us in some singing. And then we will have the three men who are ready to go in the book of Proverbs. We'll have Ed, Gene, and then Homer. And then we'll wrap up the evening with our monthly business meeting. So that'll be the plan for this evening. Looking forward to that. Again, you want to come out this Wednesday and be a part of that. Pastor Jamel from France. He's the son-in-law of Betty Lacey, one of our missionaries, who is pastoring the church. She still lives in France there. And I get to hear his story and ministry update of how the Lord's using him. And just a real neat time. You'll be encouraged by that. So you want to be here on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, or you can jump on through Zoom and watch that recording and be able to interact there with us as we pray on that evening as well. Looking forward to a couple special things coming up next week, having a ministry update night. And talking about just what the Lord's been doing and the types of ministries that we have here and being able to be reminded. There's lots of things happening in the church. I know myself and Pastor, we get to hear about all of these different things by nature of our position. But it's good to be able to let all of you know so you can be praying, be encouraged to jump in and be a part of some of those ministries. And then also ultimately to give God glory for what he's doing and continues to do through us as a church. And so, looking forward to that. In 2 weeks, we will be having, in the evening, we'll be having our combined service down at Temple Baptist. And that'll include all the OARBC churches here in Scioto County. And we'll look forward to fellowshipping with them with a service and then a fellowship afterwards. The one change with that, that's out of our routine, is that'll start at 7 and not 6 o'clock. So that Sunday evening, we'll start at 7 down at Temple Baptist in Portsmouth. And we'll look forward to a great evening there. We're also looking forward to baptisms and right-handed fellowship coming up on August 27th and September 2nd. It's going to be split into two different weeks there. So we're looking forward to seeing those added to our numbers, seeing those go through the waters of baptism, and be praising the Lord for the way that he continues to work and draw people to himself and then to his church through this. So lots of things happening coming up here the rest of this month. We're also excited about lots of ministries starting off in September. Make sure you stay close to all the announcements that Wilma sends out and other ways to, as we talk about those, so that way you can mark your calendars accordingly and be able to be a part of those. Any other updates on ministries or things that we should be aware of? I do have one other one. We had the fly meeting this afternoon. They're excited about the Wednesday night kicking off again. That'll be on September 13th is what it looks like for that. But Amy did mention, she's in need of about 5 or 6 more volunteers. And so if you would like to volunteer as a part of a group leader there, leading a small group of boys or girls and walking through a journal that they have there. So that's what they're in need of. She said in particular, she said she'd take anyone who is willing to be able to volunteer there, but in particular men. She said just being able to see men, there's a group of boys that would love to have male influence into their lives, and so if there's any men out there that would want to be a part of that and help build into their lives, please let myself know or go see Amy, and she'll try to round out that group here soon so that way they can continue to plan. Again, she said we need about 5 or 6 more people. I know Nursery and Children's Church are needing people as well as we grow. We are going to need more help doing some of these ministries, but praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to do those. So, no other announcements. We'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll turn it over to Dave, and then the three men will come up after that. So, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to just continue to be together with the body of Christ. What a joy it is to fellowship with one another, to greet each other, and to just encourage one another to continue to press on in our walks, Lord. We live in a world that is hostile to you and hostile to your body, Lord. But Lord, we know that we don't have to walk through this life alone, but rather we can link arms with the community of believers and be able to continue to fulfill our mission of making you known locally and worldwide together and encourage one another to do so. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this evening as we sing praises to your name and we hear from your word. I pray that you would be with Ed and Gene and Homer as they bring us your word. Thank you for their diligent study of the scriptures as they organize a message for us, and I pray that we would be able to glean much from that. Lord, thank you for the book of Proverbs and just understanding of wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to really focus in on the truth that is spoken. And I pray that we would allow the Spirit to go take that truth and go to work in our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray for all the ministries that are in the planning stages right now and getting ready to kick off in the fall. And I pray that you would just encourage them and allow them to be excited for the ministry that you have before them. Lord, I pray that you would also bring the volunteers they need to them. And so that way they can continue to serve, continue to be able to provide for the needs of the ministry, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for life and breath and everything. We thank you for being the great God that you are, and I pray that we would always and continue to worship you and make much of you as we walk through this life. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Well, if you grab a hymnal, what I'd like to do is just 521. You can turn there. It's a familiar song to most of us. I'd like you to take just a minute or so and just read through this silently to yourself. Just read some of the verses. You don't have to read all of it. And just kind of get your head in the song so that we're worshiping in spirit and truth. We're not just singing a familiar tune. And kind of get the sense for the author was Fanny Crosby. What was she inspired to write? What was in her heart and her mind and her emotions when she penned this song? And this many years later, through our hymnal, and just taking the time and priority to sing, we can fellowship in a sense with her and others of like spirit. So, redeemed.
Child and forever.
one more on 389. This is our prayer song tonight as we come to the scriptures. We want to know more about Jesus.
Good evening. As Matt said, there is lots and lots of exciting things going on, and I'm excited to be here with you. I so appreciate Gene and Homer assuring me that there's no need to be nervous. I usually am anyway, but I really appreciate it. This could look a little bit odd because I can't really see anything out of my left eye, so I'll try not to get lost. I can see this pretty well. The light is really good. So you remember Raj finished the passages just ahead of me. Now tonight we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, and this will be 7 through 10. So let me read those, and then we're going to look at revisit the two verses just prior to that. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing in your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So as we begin looking at 7 through 10, I just wanted to mention a couple things that seem really significant. I really appreciated what Raj said about the verses just preceding, and specifically 5 and 6, like I just mentioned. In this third chapter of Proverbs, verses 7 and 8, if we weren't careful, could be overshadowed by 5 and 6. And I think you know what I mean. So it came as no surprise to me if you do a little research and look at commentaries. 5 and 6 and 7 to 8 are really often mentioned together because they are so closely related. So in light of that, you heard 7 through 10. Let me revisit 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Understanding those verses together, for me at least, made it easier. And another relationship in those verses, if you hear Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And then the significant, never be wise in your own sight. So think a little bit about how you feel when you are talking with those perhaps. It could be someone you know, someone you've encountered. When they seemingly have a desire to, they seem to want to be right. They place this great value on being right, and you might get the feeling that there's not room for your specific thoughts in that. And I think about those times when I've experienced that. It seems little room for discussion or compromise. It can be uncomfortable. So thinking of Solomon sets, be not wise in your own eyes, as a clear antithesis for trusting in the Lord. When we're overly wise in our own eyes, are we really trusting? We tend then to trust on our own limited experience and imperfect ability to reason over God's infinite wisdom and benevolence. So when we think of children, children resist a lot of things that are in their best interest. They don't have the perspective to understand often the very concepts that we're talking about. When I wrote this, I actually thought of Liam for a minute. So if you said to Liam, I want you to catch a ride down to Portsmouth and rent an apartment and put some money down on the utilities and everything that's involved with that, I think Liam might be a bit panicked. He doesn't have a driver's license. So his perspective would be very different than yours. If somebody asked you to help someone do that, you would probably have a handle on it. So children's perspective can be oh so different and so limited. So you think about Solomon in Ecclesiastes. When he said all of existence is too large and too grand for us to comprehend. And in the wake of that truth, we've got two options. So option one, trust in the Lord and his goodness. That's faith. And follow his way, following in his ways, faith. Or trust in our own ability to figure out things using human reason and choose our own way. When we rely on being wise in our own eyes, the way can become very crooked. It can become very confusing, and the consequences often don't work out even in the way that we thought they would. Our ability to control, to have control, is really an illusion. Our perception's not accurate. The superior alternative is to fear the Lord, the scripture, turn away from evil. And the fear of the Lord includes our discomfort in putting our trust in something that you can't actually see and really cannot control. The alternative is to embrace the illusion that we can control things when most of the time in reality, we really can't. The root of evil is the temptation, lies, and untrue promises that there is a better way than the Lord's way. A way that does not include submission to the Lord. Every alternative to trusting the Lord leads to something else. It can lead to evil. Trusting the Lord is the best path, not only for a straight and true perspective, but also the key to a vibrant and healthy life. Notice, and it could read a bit differently in whatever version you're carrying, it will be a healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Perspective is oh so important here. And that's not a guarantee that a person who trusts in the Lord is never going to have any difficulties. We know that, and we understand it. When we align with the reality and adopt a true perspective of trusting in the Lord, the fighting against that reality, I was trying to decide how to fighting against that reality that trusting in the Lord is the best way can take a physical as well as a spiritual toll. We always pray for those experiencing worry, fear, anxiety, depression. Trusting the Lord is good for the mind, the soul, and the body. So as we move just a bit and look at verse 9. So we're transitioning to a slightly different subject. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now, I had to ponder a bit about that. Most of us are not raising hundreds of acres of produce, so we want to be careful about the context. But so let's talk a little bit about the battle. So you could be thinking, what battle? And there's a battle happening. There's a battle going on in humans that have been going on for a couple of thousand years in human hearts, and that battle is still going strong. The battle is one of the enemy's favorites. If he's sitting right here, whispering in your ear or shouting in your ear, as it may be, and we're talking about concerning giving. What he wants you to believe is, you can't do it. You cannot do it. Those tires are $1,000. Those keep my wife from hyperventilating when she found out the price of new shingles. The enemy is always going to have a message that you can't do it. You can't afford it. And making you believe that the giving of your hard-earned money is not, it's make you trying to make you believe it doesn't make sense even to do it. That's his message. He wants us confused, and he wants us not thinking clearly about this. I fought this battle in my own heart years ago. I think you know what I'm talking about. Honoring the Lord from our wealth means giving from our possessions to further the Lord's work here in the world. And we all know and we love talking about missions and talking how the Lord is at work far and wide. It can take many forms. It can be as simple as a neighbor in need. The giving, although we have been greatly blessed, does not necessarily take place always right here. Being generous to others, you can read a little more about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It might involve supporting people and activities dedicated to worship of the Lord. And again, that can encompass many entities. You think about one is Cradle. Missionaries is one, Cradle is one. As with the rest of Proverbs, this is a principle. Here in the New Testament era, we've got the Holy Spirit to help guide us in all of this decision making. So how prepared are we to assist and advise our struggling brothers and sisters if they're having problems and doubts in this area? I'm not going to take time to mention a long version. So when Cindy and I counseled a couple in not really financial distress, but having a problem, so the identification of needs, wants, and dreams are different classifications. So how do you keep the wants out of the need column or the dreams out of the wants column? How do you tell somebody that $60 twice a month for a manicure and pedicure is not a need? It didn't go over that badly, but anyway. I know. Jesus expanded this principle to include a perspective that God owns everything already. All of our material possessions that we are managing, it's part of our stewardship. At the end of our lifetime, that stewardship is going to fall to somebody, be it family members, whatever it is, be it somebody that follows us. We're going to pass that stewardship on to others. The fullness of wisdom with our finances is not only to set aside the first of our finances unto the Lord, but also to recognize the reality, and I said it already, that all we possess already belongs to the Lord. To honor the Lord from the first of our produce means giving to the Lord's work, making it a first priority when we budget our income. Being wise stewards. If we spend our income to satisfy earthly appetites, we actually become slaves. Breaking the cycle means honoring the Lord from the first of our income. Solomon is saying we should give in this manner. And then he uses an agricultural example that would have been very familiar at the time. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So both illustrations indicate a high level of productivity. A blessing, the Bible makes clear that God is not transactional. So it certainly doesn't mean if you do this and this and this, you're going to receive this and this and this. Having a stewardship perspective ought to cause us to make wise financial decisions. Destructive perceptions typically cause us, or can cause us, great frustrations. These verses address our perceptions concerning wealth. And if we take the path of foolishness, we don't allow the Lord to fill our barns because we keep buying bigger and bigger barns. The key to contentment is being content with what we have and trusting in the Lord.
Let's see if I can get myself arranged here. Because as we were discussing before we came in here tonight, that, well, for me, I'll never get comfortable doing this. Well, I'm about half a foot shorter than Ed. The verses that I received were 11 and 12. And with some help and instruction, I was able to grasp somewhat what they might mean. And hopefully I can exposit that to you this evening. In 11 it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Well, there's two responsibilities in verse 11. It says, despise not the chastening, and don't get tired when you get corrected. And I'm sure that we all do, because the fact is that sometimes it seems like there's more correction than there is anything else. It seems like that things get heavy for us, each one of us, and it's just hard to make it through. And then the two reasons that he gives are because the Lord loves those he corrects, especially those he delights in. Well, I went and I titled this, "The Father's Love for Us." These verses were the writing of Solomon for one of his sons, but it has a great message for us today. In these verses, we find that we have the two responsibilities to our Heavenly Father, and he shows us two reasons for this correction. They are interwoven in the examples I have chosen tonight. The first is not to despise God's correction, because he will show us the reason why. We should all know the story of David and Bathsheba, but this is a reminder in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 7. After David commits adultery and murder, I definitely wouldn't want it to have been in Nathan's shoes when he had to speak these words to David. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up, nourished up, and grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and it lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. This is the verse that I think would have been hardest for anybody to say. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, the master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. That right there, like I said, I'm sure after he had told him that he was the man, he didn't know what to expect. But the reason God showed him his faults was because he loved him so much. David is the only man in the Bible who is ever known as a man after God's own heart. And even he messed up. But God forgave him, just like he has us. The other responsibility we have in these verses is not to grow weary of correction and of the trials of life, because if God didn't love us, he would have no reason to correct us. I believe we all suffer from this from time to time. Have you ever lost a job, had a marital problem, or the loss of a loved one? These things wear us down. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah told Ahab that according to the Lord God of Israel, before whom he stands, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. In 1 Kings 18, God sent him to Ahab. And in 1 Kings 18, 37 through 46, that's when it should have been the greatest victory, but it ended up being something other than that. In 37 through 46, he says, hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That was a great victory for God. But in chapter 19, verses 9 through 14, it turned into a failure for man. That's where we are weak, but God is strong. He doesn't fail us. He will never forget us, and he will never leave us. And in 19, verses 9 through 14, and he ran away after Jezebel had threatened him. And he came unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon a mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy altars, slain thy prophets with thy sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. In verse 18, God corrected him. He said, yet I have left to me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. But in our weakness, unfortunately, that's where, when we get scared, tired, or we just give up, that's when the victory that God gives turns into failure. And neither are we. These verses in Proverbs don't guarantee we won't have hard times, but they assure us God will always be there for us. Jesus said it best in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the Father's love for us. Thank you.
Good evening. We're going to continue on in the book of Proverbs, picking it up in chapter 3 again, and we're going to be reading through verses 13 through 18. So let us read, and then we'll begin to explain it and exposit the text. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of gold. Of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Solomon is continuing to instruct his son on wisdom. He shows in verses 13 and 14 how wisdom is superior in your life than having silver and gold. And he picks it up in verse 13. He says, how blessed or how happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And I had to go back and look at wisdom. What is the definition of wisdom? And we know that wisdom comes from God according to James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But what is wisdom? What is the meaning of wisdom? And here's the meaning of wisdom: a skill in living up to a biblical teaching, to the ability to make godly choices according to God's will and his word. And then I had to look up, and I went and looked up understanding. And here's the meaning of understanding: insight or an intelligence, the ability to know something well enough to pass its values along to others. And I thought of our Sunday school teachers and our pastors. they have the ability to know something well enough to pass that value on to us. So that's what wisdom and understanding means. And Solomon says, how blessed or how happy is the man who gains this. And then he goes on to say, for her profit is better than the profit of silver. To have wisdom and understanding is more profitable or more rewarding than having silver and gold. And I thought, this is hard for me because we don't use silver and gold as a currency in our life anymore. But back then it was common. And the best way to sum it up in our modern day, how to translate it from the ancient times to our modern times, we all get a paycheck. We're either on disability or we work for a living or we're retired. And imagine silver is what you pay out in your bills every month. And whatever those bills might be, your electric bill, your house payment, your car payment, your food bill, that's the silver, is like what Solomon is talking about. And the gold part is the stuff that you have left over in your check that you can store up. You can invest it in a CD or the stock market, or you can just put it in the bank. And you never, ever have to really use it. You can just store it up. Eventually, you pass it on down to your children or grandchildren. And this is what Solomon is saying here. For her profit, wisdom and understanding's profit is better than what you give to the Lord out of your tithes and offerings and pays your bills. And it's also better than fine gold. In other words, you may become very, very rich and very successful in paying your bills every month because you've got an education and a good job. But is that superior to having wisdom? Is it superior? Let me give you the definition of wisdom again. A skill in living up to a biblical teaching. The ability to make godly choices according to God's word. And Solomon says, in no way is silver, your ability to pay your bills every month and have money left over, is superior in your life than having wisdom. Verse 14 says, or I'm sorry, verse 15, that was verse 14. And she is more precious than jewels. And jewelry back then was a status symbol, and maybe like clothing are in some cultures. Jewelry was often worn by nobles. Remember Aaron, when he went into the Holy of Holies in the holy place, he had that ephod just decorated with the 12 tribes of Israel in jewelry. So it's a status symbol. She's more precious than any status symbol, as verse 15 tells us, and nothing you desire compares with her. And then Solomon makes a switch. He says, long life in her right is in her right hand, in verse 16, and in her left hand are riches and honor. In other words, Solomon says, the idea here is that it's like the queen. She's a queen of a kingdom. And wisdom is the queen of your life, and she is a monarch. And she has the power to give long life or to take life away as long as she lives or you live. Wisdom is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. And I thought of Mordecai. Remember when Mordecai exposed a plot that the king was going to die, and what happened afterwards? He honored him with riches and sent him around the city on his horse or on his animal. This is what wisdom is able to do as a ruling queen. She can extend long life and protect you and give you riches and honor. And her ways are pleasant ways and her paths are at peace. In other words, there's no regret of letting wisdom rule over your life. In verse 18, we look at the last verse. And it says here, she is a tree of life for those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell and God drove them out of the garden? He put a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard of the tree of life. They didn't have wisdom and knowledge and understanding back then, so God wasn't going to let them reach out and live forever like that. But now we have access to the tree of life through wisdom and understanding. And it says here again, it says, she is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. When we take hold of the tree of life, it's as though we're guaranteed eternal life. Adam and Eve would have lived forever. But in this temporal life, we won't live forever. But we will have happiness as long as we have wisdom ruling over us. Now, in closing, an application. Do you have wisdom in your life? Do you have understanding? And if you don't, or you think you don't, how can you get it? The Bible says, again in James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it to you. And then your life will be happy. There's nothing that can replace wisdom and understanding in your life. No jewelry, no wealth, nothing. So let wisdom rule over your life like a monarch queen who has the power of life and death, and she will give you life and happiness. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brothers, for your preparing and taking us into the treasure of this book, the book of Proverbs. And that's good. Let's take some time to reflect on what we've heard and seek to apply it in our own lives. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we have experienced tonight a gift from you. You have given gifted individuals to your church, and for 2,000 years in your church, they have done what we've experienced. They've opened up your word and told us what you've said. And they've reflected on what that means and given thoughts in their own lives and thoughts for us to consider. And we thank you for this gift. We thank you for the privilege to be under your word. We've been reminded about trusting in you. And we've been reminded about how you love us so much that you discipline, you chasten us. If you didn't, it would be an indication you didn't love us. And so you use hardship and challenges like you did with David and Elijah. And how you have offered to us wisdom and understanding. And it is so much better than the jewels of life. Thank you. Thank you for offering this to us. And we would do as we've been exhorted to ask you now for wisdom. We want to be wise people. We want that for our children and grandchildren. We want that for our church family. Help us to be wise and so reflect how worthy and good and gracious you are. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. All right. Well, as we transition now for our second Sunday of the month to our business meeting, our monthly business meeting, we'll invite you to take out the financial report that